SimplySafe.com. Whole home protection, protection for every window, room, and door against intruders, fires, water damage, medical emergencies, and more. All monitored 24/7 by professionals ready to dispatch police. Everything you need to know. Expert Chief SimpliSafe Home Security, named Best Home Security Overall by U.S. News and World Report. Awarded by Popular Mechanics and more. Like live professional alerts. Our monitoring staff calls you when trouble is detected and stays with you until it's solved. Dispatch faster with usual verification. Adding visual verification to your monitoring plan lets us verify your alarm is ready so police can dispatch faster. It's a lot less expensive. We cut out the middleman and mark up so you get more security for less with no contact. Prepared for the unexpected. Lose power, lose Wi-Fi, someone attacks the system, natural disaster, SimpliSafe is ready. Protects against fires and water damage, more than just intruders. Our pros monitor against leaks, floods, fires, and more. Keep an eye inside and out. With HD security cameras for indoors and out, see what's happening all the time. Designated to disappear from the tiny size of our sensors to easy one-touch control means they'll never notice your security system. Detects people, ignores pests. Motion sensors use a precision human form detection algorithm. Compare your security options. Traditional home security monitored by professional 36-month contract. Monitoring costs $37 to $53 a month. Hardwired, never needs a landline. Poor rating on Trustpilot. SimpliSafe, the better way. Monitored by professionals, no contract. Wireless, no drilling or landline required. Great rating on Trustpilot. Easy to set up yourself in no time. How it works, choose your security sensors, we'll walk you through exactly what your home needs and ship it to your front door under a week. Set it up in just a few minutes, no trials needed, or let one of our pros do it for you. Sensors guard all your rooms and entry points. If there is a trouble, our monitoring center will call you and if needed, dispatch authorities. More reasons to choose SimpliSafe. Arm, disarm from your anywhere, forgot to arm your system, need to let someone in, do it right from your phone anytime. Almost never change your batteries. Batteries last all for almost a decade and entry sensors, the best lifespan in the industry. Battery life may vary based on use. Alexa, arm my system, use your system with Alexa, Google Assistant, August Locks, Apple Watch, and more. Keep an eye on cabinets, safes, and more. Secret alerts quietly alerts you if someone accesses private areas without sounding an alarm. Customized for your home. Well, we'll customize the right system for your home's needs. Incredible range. Many wireless security systems struggle to cover your entire house. Ours can cover large homes with ease. Custom alerts for friends and family. Set up text alerts so friends and family stay in the know. Duress pin. If someone forces you to disarm your system, your duress pin will securely alert the authorities. Meet the station. Boost station. The trust comes with a built-in cell connection to rapidly alert our emergency dispatch center. Try it, test it, love it, or return it. Test SimpliSafe in your home for 60 days. Your system is ready to work. No drilling or tools needed. If you aren't 100% set, we'll return it for a full refund. We'll even pay for return shipping. Hope you had a good Easter. Here's chapter 6 of Laura Ingalls Wilder's Little Town on the Prairie, The Month of Roses. All through that lovely month of June, Laura sewed shirts. Wild roses were blooming in the great sweeps of pink through the prairie grasses, but Laura saw them only in the early morning when she and Pa were hurrying to work. The soft morning sky was changing to a clearer blue, and already a few wisps of summer cloud were trailing across it. The roses scented the wind, and along the road, the fresh blossoms with the new petals and gold centers looked like little faces. At noon, she knew great white cloud puffs would be sailing in sparkly blue. Their shadows would drift across blowing grasses and fluttering roses, but at noon, she would be in the noisy kitchen. At night, when she came home, the morning roses were faded and their petals were scattering on the wind. Still, she was too old now to play anymore and it was wonderful to think that already she was earning good wages. Every Saturday night, Mrs. White counted out $1.50, and Laura took it home to Ma. "I don't like to take all your money, Laura," Ma said. "It does seem that you should keep some for yourself." "Why, Ma? What for?" Laura asked. "I don't need anything." Her shoes were so good. She had stockings and underwear, and her calico dress was almost new. Although, the week she looked forward to the pleasure of bringing home her wages to Ma. Often she thought, too, that this was only the beginning. If in 2 more years she would be 16, old enough to teach school, if she studied hard and faithfully and got a teacher's certificate and then got a school to teach, she would be a real help to Pa and Ma. Then she could begin to repay them for full all that it had cost to provide her the right for her since she was a baby, ensuring they could send Mary to college. Sometimes she almost asked Ma if they could not somehow manage to send Mary to college now, counting her on her earnings later to help keep Mary there. She never quite spoke of it for fear that Ma would say it was too great a chance to take. Still, the faint hope kept her going more cheerfully down to work. Her wages were a help. She knew that Ma saved every penny that could be saved, and Mary would go to college as soon as Pa and Ma could possibly send her. The town was like a sore on the beautiful wild prairie. Old haystacks and manure piles were rotting around the stables. The backs of the stores' false fronts were rough and ugly. The grass was worn now even from Second Street, and gritty dust blew between the buildings. The town smelled of staleness and dust and smoke and a fatty odor of cooking. A tank smell came from the saloons, and a musty sourness from the ground by the back doors where the dishwater was thrown out. But after you had been in the town a little while, you did not smell its smells, and there was some interest in seeing strangers go by. The boys and girls that Laura had met in town last winter were not there now. They had gone out to stay on homestead claims. The storekeepers stayed in the town to run their stores, and back in the storerooms behind them, while wives and children lived all summer out on the prairie in claim shanties. For the law was that a man should not keep a homestead claim unless his family lived on it 6 months of every year for 5 years. Also, he must keep 10 acres of sod broken up and planted to crops for 5 years before the government would give him a title to the land. But nobody could make a living from that wild land. So the women and girls stayed all summer in claim shanties to satisfy the law, and the boys broke the sod and planted crops while the father built the town and tried to make money enough to buy food and tools from the East. The more Laura saw of the town, the more she realized how well off her own family was. That was because Pa had got a whole year's start ahead of the others. He had broken sod last year. Now they had the garden and the oat field and the second planting of corn and growing quite well in the sod. Hay would feed the stock through the winter, and Pa could sell the corn and oats to buy coal. All the new settlers were getting down where Pa had begun a year ago. When Laura looked up from her work, she could see almost the whole town because nearly all of the buildings were in the 2 blocks across the street. All their walls stood up square-cornered at different heights, trying to make believe that the buildings were 2 stories high. Mead Motel at the end of the street was Beardley's Hotel almost opposite Laura, and T-Camp's furniture store near the middle of the next block. Billy did have 2 stories. Curtains fluttered at their upstairs windows and showed how honest those buildings were in that row of false fronts. That was the only distance between them and the other buildings. They were all pine lumber beginning to weather gray. Each building had 2 tall glass windows in its front and a door between them. Every door was open to the warm weather, and every door was filled with a strip of faded pink moss mosquito netting tacked onto a framework to make a screen door. In front of them all ran the level board sidewalk, and along its edge were hitching posts. There were always a few horses in sight tied here and there to the posts, sometimes a wagon with a team of horses or oxen. Once in a while, when she bit off a thread, Laura saw a man cross the sidewalk, untie his horse, swing onto it, and ride away. Sometimes she heard a team and wagon, and when the sounds were loudest, she glanced up and saw it passing by. One day, an outburst of confused shouting startled her. She saw a tall man come bursting out of Brown's saloon. The screen door loudly slammed shut behind him. With great dignity, the man turned about. He looked haughtily at the screen door, and lifting one long leg, he thrust his foot contemptuously through the pink mosquitoes, sending it toward Jughead from top to bottom. A yell of protest came out of the saloon. The tall man paid no attention whatever to the yell. He turned haughtily away and saw in front of him a little short man. The short man wanted to go into the saloon. The tall man wanted to walk away, but each was in front of the other. The tall man stood very tall and dignified. The short man stood puffed out with dignity. In the doorway, the saloon keeper complained about the torn screen door. Neither of them paid any attention to him. They looked at each other and grew more and more dignified. Suddenly, the tall man knew what to do. He linked his long arm into the little fat man's arm, and they came down the sidewalk singing, "Pull for the shore, sailor, pull for the shore. Heed not the stormy winds." The tall man suddenly lifted his long leg and thrust his feet through Hawthorne's screen door. A yell came out, "Hey there, what the?" The two men came on singing. So loudly they roared, pull for the shore, sailor. They were as dignified as could be. The tall man's long legs made the longest possible steps. The puffed out little man tried with dignity to keep his stretches. Short legs, two steps as long. Heed not the stormy winds. The tall man gravely thrust his foot through the mosquito netting door of Beardsley's Hotel. Mr. Beardsley came boiling out. The man marched solemnly on. Though loudly they roared, Laura was laughing so that the tears ran out of her eyes. She saw the long, solemn leg rip into the mosquito netting in the door of Barker's grocery. Mr. Barker popped out protesting. The long legs stalking and the fat short legs gravely stretching went away from him haughtily. Pull for the shore. The tall man's foot pushed through the screen door. But while the speed store roared, while they yanked it open and saw and said what he thought. The two men stood listening gravely until he stopped for breath. Then the fat little man said with dignity, "My name is Tay Pay Pryor, and I'm drunk." They went on, arm in arm, chatting those words. First the pudgy little man, "My name is Tay Pay Pryor," both of them together like bullfrogs, "and I'm drunk." The tall man would not say that his name was T.P. Pryor, but he always came in silently, "and I'm drunk." They will square about and march into the other saloon as screen door slams loudly behind them. Laura held her breath, but that one door's mosquito netting stayed smooth and whole. Laura laughed to her sides. She could not stop when Mrs. White stepped out that it was a disgrace to snakes what men would do with liquor in them. "Think of the cost of all those screen doors," Mrs. White said. "I'm surprised at you. Young folks nowadays to have no realizing sense." That evening when Laura tried to describe those two men so that Mary could see them, no one laughed. "Good gracious, Laura. How could you laugh at drunken men?" Ma wanted to know. "I think it is dreadful," Mary added. Ma said, "The tall one was Bill O'Dowd. I know for a fact that his brother brought him to the claim out here to keep him from drinking. Two saloons in this town are just two saloons too many." "It's a pity more men don't say the same," said Ma. "I begin to believe that if there is a stop put to the liquor traffic, women must bestir themselves and have something to say about it." Pa twinkled at her. "Seems to me you have plenty to say, Carolyn. Ma never left me in doubt as to the evil of drink, nor you either." "Be that as it may," said Ma, "it's a crying shame that such things can happen before Laura's very eyes." Paul looked at Laura, and his eyes were still twinkling. Laura knew that he didn't blame her for laughing. Thank you for listening to this chapter. Have a good week, and stay safe.